You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
We find out now here on RNIB Connect Radio about how AI tools are being used to turn images into tactile artworks at the recent Touch Beyond Vision exhibition and event at the Oxo Tower in London. Carve Cove, the company behind the AI tools, showed how artworks can be brought to life for blind and partially sighted people through tactile relief artworks, along with braille notes and recorded audio description. Robert Newman, Managing Director of Carve Cove, joins me now to tell me more about the AI tools that are being used to turn images into tactile, accessible artworks. Hello, Robert, and thank you so much indeed for joining me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, Toby. Thank you very much.
So firstly, Robert, tell me how the idea for using AI tools to produce images in a sort of 3D tactile form for blind and partially sighted people like myself to explore through touch came about.
We are a software company and we have been creating what's known as bas relief models, which is basically what is the behind tactile artworks. It's the lumpy bumpy artwork, the 2.5D model that's touchable, something that's more reminiscent with Greek or Italian Roman style artwork that you'd see on the side of a building. And we've been doing that for quite a number of years. So we're more prominently known in, for example, all the coins in the world use our software to design the artwork on it, which is very similar to the tactile artwork that we were displaying at the Touch Beyond Vision. And as we were developing AI technology for some of our customers, we thought, actually, there's a different use here. There's a bigger use, something that is more beneficial for other people. The ability to use AI technology as a positive rather than as it's seen most of the time as a negative. We thought, you know what? Imagine if we could just import an image and take that image and just really turn it into a 3D model instantly. We thought, well, that's great for our high-end customers, but actually that's really beneficial for anybody with visual impairment. And we've been working very closely and made great friends with a gentleman called Chris Fisher, who's known as the Blind Woodturner, who we met many years back, and he's become a great friend of myself and of Carve Cove. And we've always had a lot of communication backwards and forwards. And through conversations with him, we thought, do you know what? Imagine what a difference this would make to somebody like Chris.
Wow. And how does it all work? Is it just a case of scanning an image and letting the software do the rest?
Yeah. So however you get the image, it needs to go into the software. So at the event on the day, people were airdropping photographs to us at the event and we were uploading it into the software. You could take it from a digital scan. It can be downloaded from the internet. But as it stands at the moment, we develop software and it's a Windows-based application and it would go into that software and then it goes into the software and the software automatically does the magic behind the scenes where you can make it as deep or as shallow and make the detail via slider bars as deep as you need to be, because we're aware that the depth of the layer of detail really makes a big difference to how much you can feel, especially as a visually impaired person. You know, really being able to feel the creases in faces, the depths of water or waves, really make a real difference to the impact of the model. And then it can be exported either a couple of ways. The ways for art galleries, which is one part that we've shown at the exhibition, but the other way is to 3D printers, which now are really accessible for people. They are a lot cheaper in price. And that was one of the things that was the biggest hit at the show. And one of the things we focused on more was people were sending us photographs at the exhibition and we were 3D printing them for them right there and then within about 45 minutes to an hour and 10 minutes. And people were leaving with their own personal photos. It was that quick to do.
Wow, that's incredible, because, you know, to be able to get something in a tactile form so quickly is absolutely sort of outstanding to me. And I suppose, you know, sort of with a tactile image, and for me as somebody who's registered blind and I've used tactile images in the past, I do need a bit of sort of, I suppose, introduction to the image in a way, and a bit of orientation to be able to explore and understand the image. Is that something that, you know, these tactile images will have? Is that something the software can do?
I mean, at the moment for the 3D printed models, what we've been doing is automatically dropping a dot in the top right hand corner so that people are aware of the orientation. So they know that the image is the correct way around for the 3D printed models. When it came to the actual artwork and the large scale artwork itself that we were displaying at the exhibition, and for that, we were trying to show what art galleries should be doing and could potentially do. And we tried a few new things with that. We showed the speed in which the models could be produced and the cost that they could be produced, which was relatively cheap to produce, and it's reproducible multiple times. But actually, we had a different take on a voiceover. And there were actually a couple of people who do voiceovers for art galleries who did come to the exhibition and were very interested in the way that we described. And what we did in that was we started you in a specific corner and the voiceover talked you through, move your hand down from the top left, and you will now feel the expression, which feels like a smile on, and you can feel the bristles on the mustache above the top lip. And if you move across to the right, you will feel a, and it was really interesting because you were in, oh wow, yes, you can feel that. Oh, it does feel like that. And we got so many comments on the positivity of our voiceovers, and that they hadn't heard anything quite like the descriptiveness of the voiceovers. And we did that with the assistance of AI scripts, but the actual voice was covered by one of our own employees. But actually, technology itself now is at the point where AI could automatically do all of those sorts of things. We haven't produced our technology to do that, but actually it is capable. AI has the technology and the capability to be able to describe an image and lead your hand through a image itself and walk you through those steps. It's very clever now.
And sometimes with a tactile image, it's not necessarily, I suppose, the same as the visual image. Sometimes elements need to be slightly differently arranged or brought closer together to make it easier for somebody exploring the tactile image through touch. Is that something that the software does as well?
So what our software does is, from a photograph, it takes a true representation. So there is no manipulation on there. But because we have a lot of experience in, for example, the world of coin design and other bas relief design, our AI has been based upon the historical knowledge. So things like the height of noses, the height of cheeks, the way that eyes are inset, eyebrows, we take a lot of the historical knowledge that we have to make sure that those elements of facial features are defined in a way that it's easy for you to understand exactly what those elements are and the gap and the depth and the distance between them as well.
Well, that's great, because I think that's that thing, it's making sure that something feels easy and is a true representation, and sometimes that's slightly different to the actual image. And you had a mural wall, I believe, at the exhibition and an event where people's images that they had given you were turned into the tactile images and put up. And that, I believe, some people were really impressed with them.
Yeah, it was a really interesting and exciting process to do, because we wanted to show that the AI technology could take images of any sort, whether it was artwork or personal images, and turn it into a 3D tactile model. And what we wanted to do was to prove that. So we asked members of the public via different Facebook groups or by reaching out to different people and asking them if they would kindly submit their images to be part of a art exhibition where we would 3D print the models and they would be on display at the art exhibition, and we would send those 3D models to them afterwards. And we had a real mix of images, quality, some from the 1980s, some more modern times come through. I think there was an even older one which has Princess Anne in and a young schoolboy, which has got to be going back to maybe the 60s or 70s in there. So a very old image across to some new ones. And we've got some really lovely personal stories about the image. And one woman even submitted it from the United States, who is a blind ballet teacher at the Baltimore School of Ballet. She's a ballet dancer. While she was in London, she also made sure she went to the Royal Ballet as well. But she came to the exhibition to see her artwork on display and sent us a lovely email following it. And almost all the images, when people felt themselves, their images, the tears, the emotion that came to them, it was what we hoped. For, I'm going to say not the tears necessarily. You always hope that people are emotive and enjoy what they have, and that the tears and the emotion was absolutely wonderful. But you were hoping that people could truly feel, and the proof was on the wall of what could be done from what they sent us. And people were constantly going back to the artwork and to their images to feel it. And the mural wall probably had the most interest, because it was people's personal lives, it was their personal stories. And the image that really stuck out to me, and I wasn't expecting it, was a dog, an image of a person's previous guide dog, absolutely lovely gentleman who couldn't make it to the exhibition. And he submitted the image to us to put on display. And that really struck with a lot of people who are visually impaired, about the importance of their guide dog, about the importance of having a connectivity again with the guide dog. Yes, they may be on their second dog or third dog, but again, being able to still remember and connect with that dog. That one stuck out to us as a really strong importance. And we know we're going to get a number of images from people on guide dogs themselves, or people are going to be printing their own guide dog images.
I was going to ask you this because I use AI quite a lot to describe and bring photos to life for me. And will there be a time when I could maybe have the AI tools or software on my smartphone scan one of my photographs and then have it printed in 3D at home?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment we are just a Windows app-based system, but based off the success of this, we are currently now looking at what's next, what the next level is. We want to make it as accessible for people as possible, whether it's an upload service, whether it's just a direct connect to a 3D printer for people. We are surprisingly aware how many visually impaired people have 3D printers at home. And the technology is quite accessible, and we want to make sure that the solutions that we provide are very, very accessible to everybody as well. And we want to make sure, and this was really, really interesting. A lot of people said, we don't have any pictures or artwork in our homes because we can't see them. But now we feel like we're going to have lots of tactile artwork everywhere. And that was just lovely to hear.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. And if listeners would like to find out more about Carveco and your AI tools, where can they go to find out more?
They can go to our website on www.carveco.com. But importantly, the exhibition itself was called Touch Beyond Vision. And we've still got the website for www.touchbeyondvision.com live, where we're going to be posting a lot more information. And we are looking, because we've been requested, about where the exhibition will move to next. And we're thinking we've got a lot of artwork there, which we want other people to experience. So we're looking at what the next stage is for Touch Beyond Vision as really its own brand, and what galleries it can move into or move around. Because we think that really getting this message out and making sure that it is accessible to more visually impaired people. It was just a one-day exhibition in London. We'd like to have it sited somewhere for a month or two and then maybe move around again. So it's something that more people can get to.
Wow. Well, thank you very much indeed, Robert, for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio and telling me more about Carveco and your AI tools that are turning images into tactile artworks.
Thank you, Toby.
For more interviews, features, and shows, go to your favorite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.